Welcome to Thundercast, the official AO Manchester Thunder podcast. Lindsay here with you. Hiya, how you doing? Hope you're into the Super League 2026. Of course you are. I'm ready for it. I'm firing. It's up and running. And look, I'll be totally honest with you. It's been a busy run into the season for me. I was away covering the Winter Olympics for the BBC. Then we went straight into Super Cup, didn't we? And now here we are. We are underway. So it is time to get bang up to speed. Quick shout out at this point to 11-year-old Thunder fan Amelia, who came up to me at the game at the weekend and said, when is the next Thundercast coming out? Well, it's here, Amelia. It is now. And I've had messages from a number of you. So thank you so, so much. Let's get stuck in. We're going to take you to the very heart of the club to look at those tactics, to look at what we can expect from the season ahead. And there is no better person to guide us than head coach and franchise director, Karen Gregg. Karen, welcome back to the podcast. It's brilliant to see you.
Hi, Lindsay. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, thank you so much. I've told you about my lead into the season. Tell me about yours, because it's just all go.
Yeah, I mean, people think in the off-season, us coaches and that are not doing anything. It's quite the opposite, really. You know, it's absolutely chaos. It's been a busy one, and it's been a very fragmented one in terms of, you know, having the squad around and what that looks like and being able to actually get some real stuff done with the squad. We only had two opportunities to have the roses in a week at the back end of October and a weekend over Christmas and New Year. So it's been very fragmented, and just when you think you're starting something and getting something done with them, then, you know, they get taken away again and you have to start all over again. So yeah, it's tough. And I think, you know, it's one of them, you're kind of a victim of your own success. You know, we've got five girls in that roses squad, And they're all obviously homegrown roses as well from Manchester Thunder, from the Northwest. So super proud of what they're going away and achieving. But it obviously doesn't help when you're trying to prepare for a Super League. So I'm glad that they're all back in now. They're all fit and healthy. And we're on our way.
I think fit and healthy is so key, isn't it? Because I remember talking to you this time last year and you'd lost 40% of your squad as we went into Super League. And we will come on, you know, it hasn't been totally straightforward in terms of your 10 this year. I know that. But yes, five roses. I did want to ask this, Karen, because, you know, I know there's been discussion between different head coaches about the amount of time that you get with your players and trying to build something for Super League. Is there a benefit of your players training together in the roses setup? Because they are working with each other, they are developing those connections, but is that a different kind of play to what you're trying to achieve from Manchester Thunder?
I mean, I don't know what they're doing in the England Roses setup. We don't get eyes on that or any feedback from that. So all I know is that when, you know, ultimately you get five players back into your environment, you would hope that they'd be firing and ready to go. And without understanding what's fully happened in the Roses setup and what they're being asked to do, etc., that's hard to say. So getting them back 2 weeks before the season starts is not ideal, and you know, we're really kind of playing catch up in terms of getting those connections firing and playing how we want to play into the season.
And we're going to talk about that, because we spoke in the BBC interview at the game at the weekend about connection. So I'll come back to it. But I think maybe we as fans, you know, we're so keen, the netball community is so keen to watch, that when Super Cup happened, we sort of maybe saw a bit of that and thought, oh, what's going on with Manchester Thunder? That's not necessarily what we were expecting. And now we're into the season, it feels different. It feels like the team is building and working together really well.
Yeah, we're getting there. When you look at the teams that actually performed over Super Cup weekend, I would argue and say that the teams that did perform really well and maybe surprised a few people, it's the teams that did have time together. So that's definitely to be expected. But what I am really happy about and really positive about is how we've regrouped as a squad, you know, as coaching staff on, right, well, that's a true reflection of where we're at. And yeah, it was only snippets because, we, you know, 7 minute halves, 14 minute games, anybody can take anybody in that time in tournament format. So for us, it's obviously very different to Super League. And for me, the bounce back from the players and the staff and how we've actually come together and the improvements that we've made since Super Cup, I think we've come on leaps and bounds. And I think if we can stay on this trajectory, then there's definitely nothing to worry about.
Absolutely. And that's great for us to hear as well. I'm going to talk about the new season. Just before we do, let's do a tiny recap just to get our heads in the right space. So building the squad for 2026, you really wanted to keep that consistency, but also to bolster your shooting end. And I just wondered, how was it in that recruiting window, knowing this time that the Amex Super Shot was going to be there? Because last season you had to recruit not knowing the 2-point goal was going to be even used. And here it is, and we're loving it. Was it easier to go, okay, what we need is this in our shooting end, knowing that was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, the way I coach is kind of, in some ways, how I liked to play as a player. And I was very much as a player myself, you know, with that goal shooter or goal tap bib on, fearless. Like, you've got to be willing to take on the shot. So, you know, you land, you turn to post, you put the ball up. And I think that was, for me, a key thing around our identity is having shooters that aren't afraid to shoot from anywhere. So when it comes to the Super Shot, it was just, again, making sure that we have players that are fearless and will shoot from anywhere. And I think our style of netball really lends to that. So I think when, yeah, we were looking at who to bring back, it was just putting, you know, all our cards on the table, really, and what we wanted that to look like. I like to have variety. I like to be able to mix up our style within the game so that we're able to throw different questions to our opposition. So it was important that we didn't just have one style of shooter and one style of attacking end. So us being able to get Eleanor home was really key, because she, you know, offers us that holding, you know, that static shooter with, you know, her body. She's so strong through her body, but she's also able to exit the circle and release that pressure when she needs to as well. But then you've got Sophie Fawns, who is so fast and dynamic, who can open up that circle, you know, on a pinhead, and being able to link her with Lois out the front, then that just gives us a different dynamic as well. So, yeah, it was important for me to identify players that were able to give me variety of style in that shooting circle, but that were also fearless on the shot. So getting Eleanor back was key. We had some really good conversations with her and what her role would be coming back into the club. And then I slid into Sophie's emails and asked her if she fancied a chat, and we had a really good conversation. And obviously there was no pressure on her to sign. It was just to kind of see where she was at. Unfortunately for us, I must have done an all right job, because she decided she wanted to come over and join us. So I was super excited to get her signature on that contract when it happened. And she's a great addition to our group.
She is a great player. I loved watching her against Mavericks, because it felt like she came alive, you know, particularly with those long shots. She was shooting them, and then she was under the post to collect them when they went through the goal and celebrating that. And I think, you know, we had a brilliant interview with her on Thundercast as well. Go back, and by the way, and listen to that one if you haven't, because she's so up for being here, isn't she? And sort of embracing the Northwest and everything that she can learn. And we're looking at her thinking, gosh, you're bringing all this to the league. But she's really keen to drink it all in and to improve her game.
Oh, do you know what? She's like a big ball of energy. She's absolutely fabulous to have around, and she is really embracing everything that's getting thrown at her. And whether it's the netball, whether it's the culture, whether it's the Manchester rain and with a splattering of sunshine these days, which is nice. But she's bringing, yeah, a real good energy to the group. She's definitely a true professional. She's got a notepad everywhere with her. I think she's good enough to go back to Australia at some point and break into that Diamonds group. And, you know, if we can be part of her journey, then that's something that I will personally be very proud of, if I can help her get to where she wants to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right, let's talk about the new season then. Rounds one and two are done and dusted. Thunder put down a 10-goal win against Mavericks in round number two after that tough opening game and the loss to last year's champs in London Pulse. Thunder, though, did win the second and fourth quarters in the game against Pulse and took away a bonus point. So I just wondered, let's talk about that game first of all, Karen. How did that feel to you as head coach on the sideline?
I mean, it was stressful at times, because I think there were still some real basic errors that crept into our game that, in my eyes, are not okay. And, you know, watching it was frustrating. But I knew the girls had trained really hard that week. Honestly, like, we couldn't have asked for much more. Like, we were buzzing after training that week. Like, there was definite inroads to the performance that we put out against, you know, in that Super Cup competition. And it definitely showed that we were there for the fight, and that it was a never say die attitude from the whole group, which for me was really important to see that that fight was there. And there was probably a time in the game where we could have let that slip and let that scoreline really blow out. But, you know, they did an unbelievable job. Sophie in that super shot time, Nicola, when she's firing and using that height and those arms, you know, it's hard to get past her. And just as a group, we really came together. So whilst it was frustrating, we were happy to get the bonus point ultimately in the first game of the season, and to just keep, hold ourselves accountable. We saw our error rate come down in that Pulse game from the weekend before, and we saw the fight that we know Manchester Thunder players have got. So it was kind of just that first round, getting it out of our systems and knowing that there is something in us as a group to build on.
What a tough first round as well. I mean, it's very entertaining when you're a fan, but in terms of building connection and having time with the team, and there's no time with the team, and there you are playing the champions in round number one. You know, there's not an easy ask. And you did mention Nicola Smith there. We've touched on injury coming into last year. Can you give us any more on Nicola Smith? Because Millie Carter made her debut against Mavericks, but no Smith on the bench.
Yeah, Nick just literally like an ever so slight just instability in that shoulder piece. So I know we've come out and we've not actually made a statement, but we've come out and said obviously what her injury was. We're actually really positive about it. She's actually in a really good place. The stability around her shoulder joint is actually really, really good. So, she's already back on court, not necessarily doing contact stuff, but she's back on court. We're still keeping those feet loaded, and we're hopeful that, you know, given maybe a week or two, we might get her back on court.
Great stuff. And Elia as well, I know that she's on the path to recovery and hopefully make an appearance quite soon.
Yeah. So, you know, Elia's was a easier one. It was just a case of her meeting some real targets. And do you know what? That girl's thrown absolutely everything at her recovery. We couldn't have asked any more. I think she's stronger than she's ever been. Yeah, we're hopeful that Elia may be available next week.
Brilliant. Well, look, thank you. That gives us an idea then, as we go through the season, of the 10 and where they are up to. And I said, you know, that we spoke after the Mavericks game, that she did a BBC interview, and you said those connections are coming, but it could take 4 or 5 weeks. Now, you've got Dragons next, then Panthers, then Forest. And I think, you know, when we look at the fixtures list, we're sort of thinking, OK, is that a good run to build? Because as a fan, those are winnable games, let's be honest. That's what we're thinking. Would you agree that that's your plan as head coach, to sort of keep building it and ask for more? You said, I'm going to keep asking for more.
Yeah, I think ultimately you have to. As I said, like, we come Super Cup, it was a harsh reality of where we were at, and we knew that we got a lot of hard work to do. And I did, as you quite rightly said, I did say at the start, it's probably going to take us 4 or 5 rounds to find our feet, and I still truly believe that. Yeah, you know, you always target where you think you can take points, and we like to believe we can take points everywhere off everyone, you know, so that's definitely a target of ours. Obviously, we saw Celtic Dragons really put up a really good fight against Pulse last week with that one goal deficit. They play a really good possession game, which is hard to break down. You know, they've got a solid one-on-one unit in defence where they're running players really hard. They actually won a lot of ball, but they also spaffed a lot of ball as well. So I know that'll be something that Reinga will be looking at, definitely tidying up on. So we know Dragons are not going to be an easy shout on Friday. It never is, going down to Cardiff. So, yeah, I think we definitely have to hold ourselves accountable, and they're going to be hard to win ball from. So we've all just got to be on task, doing our own jobs before we start worrying about what else to do. We want to take points from that. And then Panthers, again, they probably haven't had the start to the season that they would have liked, but they've got some real potential in that group. You know, when you look at their defence end, I think is pretty solid. You know, I would say physical. That seems to be a word that's been thrown around quite a lot recently, but they're definitely, you know, they're definitely hungry for ball. And, you know, in their attack end, you know, Tiana's a real smart playmaker. So Panthers are definitely not going to be a team that are easy to overcome.
It feels to me like we're not seeing the Tiana Matoro that I know yet. You know, I don't, because I commentated the game between Panthers and Forest at the weekend, and the shooting load was absolutely on Betsy Creek. You know, it wasn't a fair split at all. And I thought, gosh, I wonder whether she's just taking a bit of time to get into it, because she can play with such flair, she can offer such ball speed in and out of the circle. But I don't think that's there yet.
To be honest, Lindsay, she isn't a high volume shooter. She isn't. Like, you look at her across the ANZ, and she's only shooting 5-6 goals a game in that ANZ competition for the last few years. So I'm not surprised that she's not got that shooting load, because she's never had that shooting load for the past few seasons in the ANZ. But you can't take away from her the creativity that she does have. She is very, very clever on the ball, the way she uses her body. She's definitely got smarts. And I think once she's built those connections with the players around her and starts to understand our league and how, you know, opposition play, I do think she'll start to thrive, just because she is such a smart player. If that's the way it's going to carry on, then you're going to find that Betsy's going to be massively targeted by defence units and almost force Tiana to make those shots.
And then Forest, then, oh, they were one of those teams that could come out of nowhere last year.
Yeah, I think, you know, Chelsea's done a phenomenal job with that group, building it from scratch. Some great athletes. I think the thing for me with them at the moment is just being able to get the ball from A to B consistently. You know, they win a lot of ball because of, you know, the way they actually play. You know, Tash Pavlin is she's a real good hustler on the body. She kind of comes from nowhere. I think she does her own job, but then she cites where else she can win ball. So she does a great job in there. And their shooting unit, obviously, Rowling's always going to be a hard one to break down. So I think Forest are tough because they've got the makings of a team that can beat anybody. And I think we've definitely saw flashes of that last year. And I think if they can get that consistency, they're definitely a dangerous outfit.
Go on then, give me your season arc, because I wonder how you do it, you know, whether you draw pictures or whether you sort of think, these are my aims by this point. Do you see it as a whole season? Do you take it game by game? And as a head coach, where do you sort of see those build points and those moments where you check in with yourself, I guess?
To be honest, I look at it as first half of the season, second half of the season, because I think in the first half of the season, it's really still just finding each other out, looking at your opposition, what they've got. It then almost becomes a game of chess in the second half of the season. I think the technical piece within inside of that is really critical. I know defensively, like Laura and Gabs have been working really hard on, okay, well, if we want to win the ball there and we want to win it in that shape, the players have got to be able to do a certain style of movement at a certain time and see the ball and what does it look like. So we've been really working in that technical space as well as tactical space. And I think once we get into the second half of the season, that's when that might just shift a little bit.
Interesting stuff. Let's talk about the second half of the season then, the double header in particular in Liverpool. I'm really excited for these double headers. I've got my first one at the weekend. And the one that Manchester Thunder really are hosting at the M&S Bank Arena, Saturday the 9th of May. Get your tickets now, because, you know, I think that's going to be an absolute corker. 3:30, it's Dragons against Rhinos, and 6 o'clock, it's Thunder against Pulse. So it's two pretty sort of premier matches, you know, in terms of that matchup and what it could look like. I loved that arena game last year. I remembered the World Cup in 2019. I think the arena in Liverpool feels great. You feel close to the action. What is your investment in that big doubleheader? And, you know, why should people come and watch it, do you think?
The fact we were given the flexibility this year to be able to have the doubleheaders, to try and attract more fans, to make those days hopefully a lot more value for money, because we all know, you know, arena games are expensive. Ticketing seems to be a little bit more expensive. Travel, food, everything is for the fans. So how can we make that day more value for money? You know, so that's definitely something that we've looked at, and we highlighted that as a weekend of fixtures purely around, obviously, we would hope that it's going to be a top of the table clash between us and Pulse, which would be an exciting game. And then you've obviously got Rhinos that are just over the hills, and you've got Wales, you know, Dragons are from Wales, representing Wales, and it's a stone's throw away from Liverpool. So it's like, let's really try and draw on those Dragons fans. As you said, get out, get your tickets. It's going to be a great day of netball. The atmosphere is going to be fab. Two games of netball, that should be top quality. You know, we're seeing what Rhinos and Dragons can put out on the court already this season. And I'm sure both games are going to be tight.
I think that you are exactly right. And how exciting. I mean, as you sort of mentioned there, Cardiff Dragons, they've dropped the Cardiff part now. They want to have that identity for the whole of Wales and bring those fans in. And Thunder as well, obviously, they've, you know, out towards Liverpool, there's lots of fandom across the North West and into North Wales as well. But I think Rhino, Samarie Fisser, everybody's talking about her. She's bringing something a bit different. She's such a hunter. And then you've got Dragons, who last year were really delivering in terms of defence and attack. And now they've added that shooting long bomb into it. Like, what can they do this year? Build that excitement, get your tickets, and as well, get your tickets for the home games. It felt fabulous at the weekend, Karen. It really did. Look at the excitement and the fans that have come to watch this sport and watch this team. And it, you know, get a ticket for live netball, it's wonderful. But what do you reflect on? What are your sort of career moments that you look back and go, that is a standout memory for me with this club? Because it's a special place.
Yeah, and you know, I remember kind of back in the day when it all first kicked off as Super Cup, and you look how we've evolved from playing at Green Bank in Liverpool to Castle at Bury to Wright Robinson, and now we're at Bellevue and playing arena games. And I think that where we are today now, as AO Manchester Thunder, and sat here with a title sponsor as big as AO and really supporting us, as been a tremendous journey, and for me to have been a part of it, you know, when we weren't getting paid, we were lucky if we even had a physio back then, and we were lucky if we even got a free pair of trainers, to players being able to get paid and people actually being able to make some kind of money out of netball. We'd obviously like it to be more, but I think the way the game has evolved, you know, the fact that we can watch every game on TV over the weekend is phenomenal. I'm super proud that I'm still here hanging on, still wanting more, but yeah, it's a great place to be. And now we've got the investment for AO as well, I'm excited to see where this club can grow over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Oh, it's a really special place to be. And 4 wins already to your name. What would it mean to win in 2026? You know, 10 years, 25 years?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some landmarks there, isn't there? I think the fact that it's going to be at the Co-op Live Arena as well, I think it is huge for Manchester. I know when that was announced, there was a real buzz around the place. Like, the girls were like, oh my God, like, it's going to be in Manchester. Could you imagine? And I'm like, we can, you know, it's, you know, we've just got to go out there and know that we have the trust in each other, the belief that if we can, you know, if we can stay on the trajectory and keep pushing each other, keep demanding more, then hopefully come June 20th, hopefully, fingers crossed, it's only a 10-minute drive from my house. I'm like, how good would that be to be playing at the Co-op Live Arena in a final, and fingers crossed lifting that trophy. It would definitely be phenomenal, that's for sure.
It certainly would. Well, look, let's leave the pod there. Thank you so much for the insight. It really is excellent, and it takes us right to the heart of the club. Best of luck in your training, and we look forward to the next set of matches.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Well, there's nothing like getting the inside scoop from the gaffer herself, is there, on the team, the way she preps for each game, and, of course, her thoughts on the challenges that lie ahead. And one of those challenges that is absolutely on her radar, I mean, let's face it, they're on everyone's radar for 2026, aren't they? It's LexisNexis Risk Solution Dragons. Now, despite beginning their campaign with the toughest set of fixtures in the league, playing last year's top 3 finishers in their opening 3 games of the season, they have shown that they are an absolute force to be reckoned with, holding champions London Pulse to an amazing 51-50 nail-biter that went right down to the wire. Now, determined Dragons defender Jackie Newton was absolutely standout in that match. It was a masterclass. If you're a defender, go and watch it. And what a treat. She's with me right now on the podcast. Welcome, Jackie, to Thundercast.
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, Jackie, in the little intro there, I was watching your face, just remembering the Pulse game. Obviously, you played the seconds, you played the moments. How did it feel for you inside that game?
It was definitely a game of ups and downs. I mean, that last quarter to come back, we were 11, 12 goals down at one point. So just to bring that deficit back was so good. And we were so, so close. So to go down by 1 in the end was a bit heartbreaking, but I can't fault the performance from the girls just to stick it out. I think Dragons of old, maybe that deficit could have blown out, but the fight was there. The belief is still so there. So yeah, we're just taking it in our stride.
And for you yourself personally, I mean, you were sort of everywhere on the court. You know, you were defending the circle, you were high up as well. Do those games, you know, do you get a sort of flow and an energy and feel like, yeah, I'm reading the game really well today?
I think because I knew I had such good support around me, it kind of takes the pressure off. And at that point, we knew we were in a deficit and we just had to win ball. So having that mindset of we can't bridge this back unless we've got the ball in our possession. So what can we do? And I think once a couple landed in my hands, it just gave me a bit of confidence to start getting a bit cheeky with what I was having a go for. So paid off in the end, which was really nice. But yeah, I can't really do what I do without that trust and belief in those around me. So I'm really lucky.
Now, of course, you are on AO Manchester Thunder's podcast. This is the official one for the side. They are your next opponents. What's the plan? Come on, give us the inside.
I think we match up against Thunder really well. Obviously, this being their home game now, the Thunder crowd is next level unmatched in terms of the energy and stuff they provide. It's like having an eighth player out there. So I think it's just a matter of focusing on our game, what structures have been working for us. Obviously we look at those one-on-one matchups and wanting to win our own individual battles, but I think what works for us best at Dragons is just focusing on that team aspect, getting the ball to goal and turning it over where we can as a defensive unit.
You played out in the Suncorp Super Netball for years before coming over here. We can see that in your experience on court. But you've really gelled with the Welsh side, which is wonderful to see. And I just sort of wondered, what have you brought to your life in Wales from your Aussie roots? You know, because obviously we've got very different weather over here. We've got a different vibe. But you bring a bit of sunshine. Like, what have you brought across from Australia to Wales?
Well, that's a really good question. I think if you would have asked me however many years ago, would you be living in Cardiff for 3 years? I probably would have said, that's wild. But now that I'm here, I really like it. It's obviously that capital city vibe, so there's plenty to do, but the people are just so nice. I've been welcomed from the day I landed. The Welsh people, they're so patriotic, and I just can't help but get on board and be like, woohoo, Wales. Like, I just love it so much. In terms of the netball side of things, I think my years in SSN has kind of given me that regimented, like, high performance attitude. I've also learnt off everyone else. Like, there's girls in my team that have been to Comm Games, World Cups. Like, they've got so much experience as well. So yeah, it's really nice that we can bounce off each other like that.
Have you brought any traditions over? You know, have you brought any food over? Any vibes? Any funny words?
Yeah, no, I have actually. There's been a few that's come on board. The word bogan gets thrown around a lot now. I'm not sure if you know what bogan means.
I don't, but I need to.
Bogan is just kind of like a person that, bit of a character, a bit of a dodgy character. I'm like, oh, they're a bogan. I brought over a lot of food for myself, like the Milo Vegemite situation, but no one really is on board with Vegemite, so I think I'm still alone in that regard.
You're on your own there.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. More for me.
Have you taken a Welsh cake back to Australia?
Of course I have, yes. The Welsh cakes are a big hit. My family's come over for the past 2 years to see me, and straight away I'm like, off to the Welsh cakes, and then they take them back over. Oh, the rarebit. Mum was a big fan of the rarebit. That was a big hit. But I think the thing that people don't realise is it's just little differences. Like, the girls will talk about, like, game show hosts or shows from their childhood or little snacks or songs or artists, and I'm kind of like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But then in the same breath, it was kind of nice having obviously Elle Macdonald and Leah and their partners who are Australian, and Jill Mack, even in my first year, it was nice having that little taste of Australia and little piece of home. So I have been quite lucky.
Excellent. And I think that is, so, you know, it's so great for our league here as well to have a player of your calibre and to see the crossover, actually, you know, sort of players that are British going out to Australia, but now the other way happening as well. It's really important for our league and it's great to have you. Right. Finally, let's just think then about the aim for the season. You know, what are you in those meetings that you have with the head coaches, with the team? What's the aim? Because I know you won't have been pleased with that eighth place finish last year. And I think there's a statement of intent from this team.
100%. We know that's not the performance that we wanted to put out. No team wants to finish bottom of the table, especially when you know that you're putting in all that hard work in the pre-season and every game, and you put your body on the line, everything on the line, to not get the results that you want. So I think this year we've been really focused on those processes. Okay, we're going into a match with a game plan. Maybe that's not working. What's in our kit bag? What can we do better?
Excellent. Final point then, Manchester Thunder. We'll finish because we are on the Thunder podcast. When you're looking ahead and you're seeing Thunder on that team sheet, the opposition, you know, what are the team's thoughts? What's your thought when you see Thunder? You know, what are you expecting to play against?
I think Thunder's a team that's very tenacious and dogged. They've got some, yeah, really good height and size about them, super shooters, accurate with the ball. So I think it's about, we look at starving their possession and really keeping them quite isolated because they work really well as a team. You can tell that that's a well-oiled machine that's been together for some time. So, yeah, it's just about kind of keeping them isolated and winning those little battles that we can.
Well, look, Jackie, we are scribbling notes right now. I'm getting all the notes down, thinking, yes, okay, we need to look for that, think about that. It's been absolutely wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for your time. And I think actually everybody, if they're not supporting Thunder at the moment, they're a secret Dragons fan, because it is wonderful to see what you've been putting out, and we can't wait for more. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Lindsay, for having me.
So there you go. They've done their homework, Dragons. They are ready for the matchup against AO Manchester Thunder. And believe you me, I know that the team from the Northwest, our yellow and black, are well up for it too. Right then. Well, that is the end of the episode this time. No Finalysis, but fear not, my favourite feature returns in the next episode. We just wanted to give Karen a little bit more time to talk about the team on this one. I would, of course, love to hear from you. Go on, get in touch. Come and yap with me about AO Manchester Thunder. I'm Lindsay Chapman, presenter on Instagram, or drop an email to hello@a-linedmedia.co.uk. All the information is in the show notes, and I would love to hear from you. A very big thank you to my guests, and a massive thank you to you for listening. Of course, tickets are available now for the big doubleheader in round 11 at the M&S Bank Arena in Liverpool. It's on Saturday the 9th of May. Jackie Newton's looking forward to playing Rhinos, and Karen Gregg is prepping for what could be a top of the table clash against London Pulse. It would be brilliant to see you there. There's more fans, more noise, more world-class netball all under one roof. Plenty of games, though, before then at Bellevue. Head over to manchesterthunder.co.uk to buy your tickets. Right, I am off to see if I can blag my way onto a night out with Jackie Newton, because, frankly, it sounds like a lot of fun. I will see you next time. Thundercast was written and presented by me, Lindsay Chapman, and produced by Ed Heaton. It's an Aligned Media production.